So we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, specifically verses 38 to 42. We're going to talk about Mary and Martha. Most people familiar with that story? Okay. But what I wanted to do was, as I'm reading, I went right to the top of Luke chapter 10, because I wanted to see how it all began and whether there was any relationship with, you know, what Jesus is doing here. And it starts off with Jesus actually getting the 72 disciples off on mission. So that's great. They start off on mission. He has spent years with them and prepared them, and now he says, you go ahead of me. That means he's following. You go ahead of me into every town that I'm going to visit. And he said, wherever you are welcome, stay. Eat whatever they put in front of you. Heal the sick. And then he goes on to say, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means harm you. So we see that that's how the chapter starts off. And then the next part of that chapter says, a lawyer who was listening to Jesus teach and preach says, Master, now he wanted to trip Jesus up. So he said, what must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus said, you know the law. Like, he's a lawyer. He should know that what the law says. And so he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, that's right. He said, but who is my neighbor? And then Jesus goes into the story of the person who was robbed and beaten and left for dead on the side of the road, and people passed him by, and there were Jewish people who passed him by. There was even a priest who passed him by. Nobody stopped to help him, but a Samaritan who was a Gentile passed by. He was on his way somewhere, but he stopped and helped this person, took him to a safe place, paid for his stay, and made sure he was taken care of. And Jesus said to this man, who is the neighbor in this story? And he said, the one who showed pity and mercy on the man. And Jesus said to him, now you go and do likewise. And I want us to hold that in mind while we are reading this. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. I'm going to pray here. Holy Spirit, I know that you are the one who gives gifts. And if you have asked me to share today, I ask that you would use me as a vessel who's willing to go whichever route you want to go. And I ask that you speak through me and really touch the lives of people here today. Open up your words so that we all begin to see ourselves in the story and respond the way you would have us respond. I ask this in Jesus' name. So when we read this little part, this verse of script, these verses of scripture, most of us who've heard the story, we do something. I know I do it, because every time I've heard something, I just look at the story and go, oh yeah, Mary and Martha, I know. Like, Martha blew it, she missed the mark, and Mary was the one who hit on the right thing. But you know, I mean, surprisingly, I went a week ago, I think, to the ROM, and there's a beautiful Rembrandt exhibit out there. And I went to take a look, and there was a painting by one of the artists who lived around the same era as Rembrandt, who did a painting on Mary and Martha. And the painting was beautiful, and it was exactly what is shown in the scripture. Martha, busy in the kitchen with fruit and vegetables and all that. She even had that expression on her face that she was quite burdened with all this. And Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, just gazing into his face, totally absorbed with what he was saying. It was a beautiful rendition, and I thought, wow, even us in the English language, people who do not know the Bible, use this expression, don't be a Martha, right? We all use it, don't be a Martha. But I want us to look at this part of Scripture with an open mind today. I want us to see everything. Don't just pick on the one thing that we've all learned, maybe in Sunday school or seen. Let's look at everything in the Scripture today. So verse 38, Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So instead of writing Martha off as a failure, we just see who welcomed him. And I want us to go back again to the beginning where Jesus said to the 72, if you are welcomed, stay, right? So there's a big thing about this. Martha welcomed him to her house. As a result of her welcome, Mary was able to hear Jesus' teaching. Think about it. As a result of Martha opening the door, Mary was able to sit at his feet and absorb and take and just hold on to everything that Jesus was saying. Now, we also see later on that Lazarus, their brother, developed a relationship with Jesus, and it all happened because of Martha opening the door to her house and having him in. So it started with Martha. And me, I love hospitality. I know a lot of people are scared of it or shy of it, but I absolutely love hospitality. And I think hospitality begins with an invitation, you know? And it seems to me, and only to me, I'm not saying everyone, that it's such a simple thing just to invite a person. But I'll tell you, there are a lot of people who are afraid of inviting. There's fear. You know, recently when we had the bingo night, I was in the gym and in the ladies' change room, and I had invited a couple of ladies. I said, we're having bingo, why don't you come? And everyone said, oh, you know, I've got my grandson, I've got this, I'm going to the cottage. And this. I said, but you know what, just come. It's for young people. They want to raise funds to go to this camp. Anyway, someone else in the corner of the change room, a lady that I don't normally, you know, talk too much, she said, did I hear bingo? And I said, you certainly did. And she said, I love bingo. I said, then you're coming with me. You know, so I found out her name, and I invited her, and she said, can I bring anyone? I said, of course you can bring as many people as you like. So she said, I'll bring my granddaughter. And she came. And she came to the waypoint, and she participated, and she was in her element. Now, I didn't know anything about her, but I knew she liked bingo. So the thing is, we sat at a table, and then other city gaiters who were in there came and sat at the table with us. And you know what? Around that table, we got to know Yolanda. I didn't know anything about her, but around that table, we ate popcorn and jelly beans. I mean, I don't normally eat popcorn and jelly beans, but who cares? We did. And we got to know Yolanda. We talked and laughed. We got to know her granddaughter, and something began to happen. And Yolanda said to me, is this a church or something? So I said, it's not a church. This is all kinds of young people who want to go on this camp, and we are raising funds for them. But some of us belong in a local church. What is this church name? She said. So I told her. She said, I want to visit this church. Now, see, I hadn't even invited her. We think we're so afraid that it's going to be so hard, but I'm telling you that God is at work in people's lives. All we are is vessels to be used by him. So sometimes we are selfish and self-centered. We think, I've worked so hard all week, I need my downtime. You know, I don't want anyone around here, so I don't want to invite people. Or be selfish. I don't want to share my stuff with others. We don't say that, but because only got a little food, only got this. Well, there's another story I want to share, but I'll share it later with you. Sometimes we are proud because we don't want people to see where we live. we're not very happy with what we have, and we compare ourselves with others. That was my sin in the beginning. Mike and I, we were in a really unhealthy place financially quite early in our marriage. And it was by the grace of God and His mercy that we got this basement apartment, you know? It wasn't a nice-looking place. It was shabby. And I really didn't want anyone to associate me with that place. That was pride. But we were at a place where we had just encountered Jesus. And we were so ecstatic about what we'd heard and what He'd done and what He was doing in our lives. And the church that we were in, the pastor really encouraged us to open up our tables and bring people in. And as much as we didn't even have food, and I was a bad cook. So all these things around me, so I didn't want to do this. But we did. And I'm telling you, our table in that place didn't even have glass. The glass broke when we moved. So it was wicker, sagging wicker. And we had to balance our plates on it, so everything went sliding to the middle. And our chairs were, like, we had only four chairs in our house. And everything was like, oh, but I'm going to tell you something. God did some of the most amazing things in that kitchen around that table. And when I talked to people years later, they all remembered about our discussions, how we encouraged each other, what we talked about, how God moved in that place with that wicker table. No one remembers what I cooked, thank God. And no one remembers the shabbiness of our place, but everyone remembers the goodness of God and the richness of the Word. And then when we go back to the story, there's nowhere in that passage of Scripture that it talks about what kind of a house Mary and Martha had, or what Martha served as a meal. Nothing mentioned. So really, what matters is what happened there. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. She became a true disciple right there in a house, okay? Now, verse 39. Martha, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. And we see that Mike actually, this is where Mike came in. He did some research on a commentary written by Barnes that said, this position, this posture of somebody sitting at the feet of a teacher and just gleaning and learning and you know, laying hold of every word that came out of his mouth is a posture of a true disciple. Someone who's so eager that you don't want to leave to even go into the kitchen to help your sister. Because the priority is, I can't miss a single thing that he's saying. So, if not for Martha's gift of hospitality, Mary could never do that. Let's think about that. If not for Martha's gift, hospitality is a gift that wants you to serve, that puts you in a place of serving. See, Jesus, He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And He's our model. So we must be like that. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Remember that word, much serving. And she went up to Him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. I looked at the Amplified. The Amplified Bible gives you a lot more words for saying the same thing. But it says, but Martha, overly occupied and too busy. Overly occupied signifies that she was doing more than was necessary. So, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. And she came to Him and said, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Is it nothing to you? Now, when we looked up that word, Lord, do you not care? It's the same word that's used when the disciples were in the boat in a storm and they said to Jesus, do you not care? You know, that we're going to die. It's the same thing. And it means, does it mean nothing to you? Nothing. Because see, it's Jesus. He doesn't bother with trivia like that, you know. He knows that he has power over it. So for here he says to Martha, no, I want to bring another point. Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me to lend a hand and do her part along with me. Now let's think this through. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's smitten by this Savior, this man. And Martha wants her to leave that place and come into the kitchen to work with her. It doesn't quite make sense when someone is getting life. Remember what Peter said when Jesus said, Peter, are you going to leave me? He said, where would I go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. Martha's just sucking it all in. I mean, Mary's just sucking it all in, and Martha's saying, you better come into the kitchen and help me. You know, it doesn't make sense. So we need to keep our eye always on the bigger picture of what's happening. I sometimes think about it. When I first started to open up my home to people, I would be really mad at Mike, saying, you're not even helping me. Now, if any of you know Mike and have been to my place, if he made a meal for you, you would never come back, right? So I was expecting him. I'll give you a praise report after. But Proverbs 15:17 says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. So, you know, we're looking at this saying, okay, it doesn't matter what you serve. It's the heart with which you do it. It doesn't matter because you're playing a small part in the big scheme of things. But just bringing someone in is opening or setting the stage and opening the door for Jesus to work in this situation. I've had the same feelings as Martha, because sometimes you miss the main thing. But if you understand the part you're playing in the big picture, you can do it with all your heart, you know? Martha had chosen to busy herself with too many housekeeping details. And I know firsthand, it gets very easy to get sidetracked. I was reading a commentary by, it's J.C. Ryle, I think. And he says, listen to this, it is often an excessive attention to things that may appear to be necessary and right that throw us off course. Sometimes people go overboard so that they can get up. That was a point Mike brought, giving you credit. So this is the point Mike brought. Sometimes what happens is, if you absolutely love having people over and cooking a meal and, you know, you really make that the focal point. Beware of doing that. Because that's what Jesus was also pointing out. I mean, the most important thing is what he has to say. The most important thing is reaching people. It's not about people wanting to praise you for the meal you've made. If you're looking for that, you're literally snatching or taking away or robbing Jesus' thunder. You know, you don't want to do that. So much serving. Don't let it become entertaining. Keep it simple. Keep the main thing, the main thing. Why am I inviting these people here? Verse 41, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Here Jesus is chiding her, but in a gentle way. And she said, J.C. Ryle on this passage says, what a snare to our souls the cares of this world may be. They can be snares if we allow them to take up too much attention. So the cares of this world, what can the cares of this world be? All kinds of things about what am I going to cook? What am I going to be? Are the chairs okay? Is my house tidy enough? You know, did I put flowers on the table? Who cares? Those are all trivial things. They're going to die one day. But her excessive zeal for temporal provisions made her forget for a time the things of her soul. Now, one thing, in verse 42, Jesus says, one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. I don't think Jesus was belittling Martha's heart to serve at all, because it was very necessary in this situation when you come, when somebody comes over. It's very necessary. It's a gift that comes from God, the heart to serve. Rather, he was implying, if you could pick one thing that was important, one thing, you know, for today that was important, what would it be? I think Mary made the right choice. Because when she sat at Jesus' feet, she embraced everything that came out of him. She received grace and mercy, and that word was able to set her free, and she knew that she had salvation that can never be taken from her for all eternity. It can never be taken. Whereas if I put all my focus on the food and the house and all the entertainment part of it, then that's all gone when the food's eaten and gone, right? But what Mary chose would last, even if she didn't have food. So the bottom line is we need both. We need Mary's and Martha's. We do. We cannot, in the kingdom, they're both important and necessary people. Ryle did a comparison of the two sisters, which is really good. And it's important for us to look at them in this light, because we can't just write off Martha. The two sisters in this passage were both faithful disciples of Jesus. They both were believers. They both loved Jesus, and Jesus loved both. We can look at John chapter 11, verse 5. I went there because it's the same story. And it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They were dear friends, and he held them in loving esteem. This is from the Amplified. Jesus loved them. So now we've established that they're both loved by Jesus. He doesn't prefer Mary over Martha, like we tend to do because of the story. Both rejoiced to have Jesus in their house. Both of them were very happy. They were both gifted differently. Martha wanted to welcome him with hospitality, food, serving him. Mary wanted to welcome him by sitting at his feet and giving her undivided attention and taking all that he had to offer. They're both doing things that are making Jesus feel absolutely welcome and loved. Grace reigned in both hearts, but each showed the effect of that grace in different ways. And I thought, you know, there are diverse gifts among us, diverse gifts, but it's all the same Spirit, all of it. So we need to recognize that, accept that, and love it. And I'll take us back, since we're on this story, I'll take us back to this family in a different setting. And here we see hospitality and the big picture. So when Martha invited Jesus to her house, welcomed him in there, we have to understand this. She was in bringing Jesus into her home. So she was. It was just her and Jesus, Lazarus, and Mary. But wherever Jesus goes, his disciples go. And wherever Jesus goes, he attracts a crowd. So it always ends up being big picture. Although it's a little house in a place that someone opened a door. So we're just doing our part. Yeah. John chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, the same family. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So we see this is post-resurrection of Lazarus. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment from a pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. So now we see Mary served. Lazarus was at the table talking, you know, conversation. And did I say Mary served? Martha served. Mary took a pound of ointment and anointed Jesus. Now, this happened just before the Passover. They may not even know fully what is about to happen, but this was in preparation for Jesus' burial. So we're seeing small picture maybe in the house, each person using their gift to play a part, but doing it in beautiful. Do you just sense the harmony here? Martha serving, Lazarus conversing at the table, and Mary anointing Jesus. The result of that was Jesus was about to lay his life down, not just for them, but for us. The effect of that has reached us. But it happened in a house around a table, you know, where people, he was sharing his life, they were discussing and talking. So every single thing we do in love, we do in faith, it has an effect on the big scheme of things. Now we are, as a church, getting ready to launch an amazing thing, Alpha, on the 17th of September, as Vic talked about it. And if you've been watching the Life Shared series, they've been very impactful. I've just loved watching them. And one of the things he says is, Jesus came with a mission, and his mission was to seek and save the lost. But he also had a method. And one of his methods was eating and drinking around tables. And he took ordinary people in ordinary homes and did this. And it all starts with an invitation. Invitation. When you invite someone, just the fact, if I came to you and said, do you know what, Hurley, I'd love you to come to our home. Wouldn't you feel like loved and welcomed, and that we really want to spend time with you? It's such a lovely feeling when you welcome someone. You're opening your door to them. I want you to come into my home, my life, my family, my food, and I want to sit down with you at this table. I don't know, it gives me such a feeling of, you want me? I'd love to come, you know? So that's great. When they come, you don't have to do much. I'll tell you, you have to listen. You can ask questions. Why did you invite them? So you can get to know them. It's so simple, so simple. You get a chance to maybe share your story. And I remember one time, Mike and I were living downtown Toronto. We had just come back from England. Another bad financial story there. But we didn't have a lot at all. Same dining table over there. But you know, I remembered a girl that I'd met when I first came to Canada. I was so desperate for friends, I made friends with her at Nathan Phillips Square. And we really hit it off. And we were both on a high with Jesus. We brand new Christians, we'd just come back, we had so much, we wanted to share with others. So I called her and I said, hey, would you and your husband like to come for dinner? And she said, I'd love to come. I said, you know, Mike and I have become Christians. And she goes, really? I've also started to go to church. And I thought, oh, now I didn't know this about her at all. But she said, I'm not sure my husband will come. He's very shy. And I said, come on, just come for dinner. So they came. And we sat around the table, and I really did not have a lot in the fridge. So I think I messed up there too, but you know what? We served it. We laughed a lot because Mike was at the table. It was a lot of fun. And he loosened up and began to feel extremely comfortable. Now, we were very young Christians. And then as we started to talk, we shared our story and we shared openly. And that's what happens around a table. And Dennis began to feel more comfortable. And Mike said to him, would you be okay if we prayed for you? Because he was very fearful. And his wife had told us, and he began to share. And he said, I guess so. So we prayed for him. Now, we did not know much. We had just read in the Bible that Jesus healed people, that he delivered people, that he set them free. And we started praying. And God, in his mercy and grace, set Dennis free from fear. Dennis was a different man after that. He went back to church, back to God, back to church. He started a business. His wife called me and said, I have a new man here, and I'm loving it. And I'm telling you, it happened around a dining table with bad food. So it could happen anywhere when Jesus is working in a situation. So we are the reflection of Christ to our guests. Let's not forget that. We are. And we extend grace and mercy. Don't judge your guests when they tell you their stories. They don't know God. That's why they're there. And so don't judge them. Just set the stage to invite them to Alpha. Alpha does everything for us. It's so beautifully laid out that actually when we take guests to Alpha, they come to the conclusion themselves that they need God. You know, that's how it's designed. Think about your story. My story, and I know Mike's story, was altered because somebody invited me. Somebody invited me. I was lost. I was in such a bad place in life. I was ready to just throw in the towel, but somebody invited me. And my story has a different ending today. And the same for Mike. Someone invited us. The power of invitation, don't forget it. It's just a small thing. So it changed the course of my life. If we know that, I mean, look at us all around. We live in a broken world. People are longing to be loved. They put on a facade. You think you know them, but you don't. I've had this experience so many times with people. I think I know, oh my gosh, that person is so hard and angry. The person will bite my head off. You invite them over, something starts to happen. They sit at your table and eat your food, something deeper starts to happen. They hear your story and they suddenly feel that they can be vulnerable in front of you. And immediately you have access to their heart. You know what? It is the easiest thing to do. I'm telling you, it is the easiest thing because it also begins to show you God is at work here. It's not just you. God is at work. I'm blown away with the fact that God has included each one of us. I mean, if you only knew me, He included each one of us to partner with him in changing lives. That's fantastic. Remember, as someone else said earlier, God is responsible for saving people. We're just willing vessels. We just come along and we play whatever part he needs us. We're conduits, as Vic said earlier. He just works through us to reach them for his glory. So I'm going to ask you, if you have not yet taken a card like this, can I see your hand? This is a card for Alpha. I was quite late in taking mine. But this card gives us the opportunity to put the names of three people. If you don't have three people, put one. But put someone that is your neighbor or you've been a neighbor too. Put someone's name on that card. So can I see if you need a card? If you need a card, raise your hand. Mike's going to come and give you a card. If you don't, I'm presuming that everyone has a card. Okay. And we pray, as Vic said, we pray for the people on our cards. Pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to show us things in their lives that we cannot see with the natural eye or cannot hear in just regular conversation. Hi, how are you? Great. How are you doing? Good. See you tomorrow. You don't get a picture of what's going on in there, but the Holy Spirit knows all things, and it'll take prayer. Now, there's no need to be afraid of praying because you're praying on your own. There's no need to be shy about where you live because you're praying alone and in your house. There's no need to be, you don't have to be selfish with your time or self-centered because you're praying. You can pray anywhere, anytime in your space. They don't even know you're praying, but you're praying and God's going to be working in their lives. So we can all do that. We want you to be a Martha then and to take the second step after to invite them. Invite them for a coffee. Invite them to Alpha. It's not you who's doing it, it's Jesus. You are a reflection of Jesus to your people. And then we're also in need of Martha's, as Vic said. You know, all of us do things in our own home. How about we do things for Jesus, who's given his life for us? He's given his life for us. And we see over here, Jesus said to his disciples when he sent them out, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." I would hate for God to say that to city gates, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Even if we could give one night or two nights, one night or two nights, what is one night or two nights in the big scheme of life? We can all do that. We can all help set up, tear down. We can help make meals. We can help clean up, serve. Folks, if one person turns their life over to Jesus, even the angels in heaven rejoice. We'll be partying here, I know. It's just such a great thing to be used by God in our small way to make a big difference. So I'm going to ask you, if you don't have a card, raise your hand. Mike's going to give you a card.
I have to say something. I mean, come on, I'm on the bill. apparently. we're not going to do the cards because there's only six cards here. And I've done a run to the waypoint and couldn't find any more. So let's do one thing. Take out your smartphone, please. Everyone has a smartphone. You look smart. You must have a smartphone. Take it out. Go to your calendar and create a new event. Come on, everybody. Come on. I'm watching you. If you don't do it now, you have to do it when you go home. So what I want you to do is create an event for 11 o'clock, because I don't know how to do 11:02 on my phone. It just goes to 11. 11 o'clock. And on that event, write, pray for, and write down your three names. So write down whoever those three people are, or that one person that comes to mind immediately. Write it right away. Three people on that time slot, 11 o'clock. Pray for. I've got my four names that I'm praying for at 11 a.m. Then create a recurring event for daily and set an alarm and start praying for them. Just remind yourself to pray. You don't have to be a big, complicated prayer. Let's just see what God can do here. You may not feel confident yet with the invite. You may not feel confident sharing Christ one-on-one, but could you pray for some people that are outside the kingdom that need to meet Jesus face-to-face? Could you at least pray for them and see what God does? See what God does with you. See what in your heart towards them. But let's see some of the kind of miraculous setups that happen when we become intentional about praying for people that are journeying to Christ. Let's just say that. So we're going to close with communion, but first I'm going to pray for those people on your list or those people that will be on your list and my list. And I'm going to pray that God will give us a real heart for people that are kind of in this life's journey. You know, I was saying to Edwina, we never know, and we were chatting about this, we never know what's going on in people, in their lives, based on how they appear on the outside. I could look around here right now, and I could look at your faces, and I would actually think you're all doing well. But there could be some people in this room that are suicidal. There could be some people in this room that are thinking about exiting marriages, or are hating life, or, I mean, you know, are just desperate and depressed, and maybe you've got a second life nobody knows about. I don't know that looking at your face, because you've learned how to play the game just as much as those other people you're trying to reach have learned how to play the game. How are you doing? Oh, great. Thank you. Thanks for asking. That's life, right? We all put a face on. We know the whole facade thing. And so you never know where people are at, but often we're surprised because God is working in people's lives without us realizing it. And as we start to pray for them, God gives us these moments where we connect with people surprisingly. And we get to see some really surprising things happen. Why don't we pray for that? So, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are working in people. And Lord, Alpha is not just a good idea. It's a proven method of sharing the gospel to millions and millions of people all over the world. And we're just a small player in this, but we're committed to it, and we believe in it, and we really are looking for an opportunity for us to bring people that we know in our worlds into an environment where Christ is preached in a way that they can hear it. Lord, we all are entitled to hear the gospel in our own tongue. And I'm asking that people would hear the gospel, people we know, as we pray for them daily. We pray for those names on lists that just went on phones right now or have already been written on lists. We pray, Lord, for doors of opportunity to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ clearly as we should to them, in the name of Jesus. We pray that you would open their eyes, that you would turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those that are sanctified by faith in Christ. And we pray, Lord, for our launch in September this month, that, Lord, we would have men and women sitting hungry at our tables with Marthas and Marys all around them as we model the gospel to people and as they experience the reality of your kindness. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.